Hello, and welcome to White Sands National Monument. We hope you enjoy this tour of our native plant garden. The tour will take approximately 30 minutes. The direction of the tour route is detailed on the map you received. After each plant is introduced, there will be a brief pause to allow you time to find it before you hear its description. Not all plants in the garden have been included in this tour. For information or questions about these plants, please check at the Visitor Center desk. At the end of the audio tour, please return the equipment and map to the Visitor Center. Although White Sands is a desert park, it is also a place of amazing life and diversity. This is reflected in the wide variety of plants found in our native plant garden. As you exit the Visitor Center and head toward the restrooms, you will see our first stop, marked Stop A on the map behind the bench. This is the Ocotillo. The Ocotillo is found throughout the deserts of the Southwest. Although this plant looks very much like a cactus due to its long spines and desert habitat, it is not a part of the cactus family. Instead, it has its own family, the Ocotillo. Each spring, hundreds of bright red tubular flowers crowd the ends of the branches. After the monsoon season, the branches burst with leaves. Being a very hardy plant, the Ocotillo can live up to 200 years. A fresh bark tincture is the only practical way to prepare Ocotillo. The tincture is useful for symptoms caused by fluid congestion. Other uses include the relief of fatigue by bathing in water containing the crushed flowers or roots. Many American Indian tribes use the flowers and roots of the Ocotillo to slow the bleeding of a fresh wound. Ocotillo is also used to alleviate coughing, aching limbs, and varicose veins. Gum resin from the bark was used for waxing leather, as an adhesive and waterproofing agent, and as a varnish. Its thorny stems are sometimes placed in the ground to provide living fences. For our next stop, head back toward the Visitor Center entrance to the tree on the right, marked B on your map. This is the desert willow. The desert willow is a 15 to 20 foot or 4.5 to 6 meter tall small tree or large shrub with slender twigs. It blooms from May to June, producing dark pink or purple flowers that are funnel-shaped and fragrant. Bows and basketry are made from its wood. The desert willow's flowers, leaves, and bark can be used as a hot poultice for skin infections or as a soothing tea for coughs. Other uses include treating yeast infections, athlete's foot, and various scrapes and scratches. A tea from the flower produces a natural antioxidant that promotes cardiovascular health and regulates glucose metabolism. From the desert willow, walk to your right to our next plant marked C on the map. This is Indian rice grass. Indian rice grass is a 1 to 2 foot or 1/3 to 2/3 meter tall perennial bunch grass. The sage green wiry foliage and ivory colored seed heads give the grass an overall light and airy appearance. The foliage turns tan when dormant. This beautiful grass often dominates sand dunes. American Indians ground the seed for flour, mixed it with water, and cooked it into a mush. This plant's flowers are a yellow-green and bloom June through September. Next to the Indian rice grass is the Colorado 4 o'clock, stop D on the map. The Colorado 4 o'clock, also called the Desert 4 o'clock, has large, showy, magenta-purple flowers that open in the late afternoon and close in the morning, thus its name, 4 o'clock. This plant has a long and varied history with many native peoples, and its uses differ even among clans. The Navajo make a tea and a light purplish-brown dye for wool. They use the plant internally for rheumatism and externally as oral aid for mouth disorders. The roots are used to reduce swelling. The Hopi use the unusually heavy root as an anchor in bird traps, an antiseptic for wounds on their horses, and as a blood strengthener for pregnant women. The Zuni mix the powdered root into their bread dough to suppress appetite. Other native peoples use this plant to treat indigestion, eye infections, and colic in babies. Continue down the sidewalk to our next stop, E, on your right, Tory's Joint Fur. Tory's Joint Fur is a small to medium-sized perennial shrub that stands 1 to 3 feet or 1/3 to 1 meter tall with jointed needles. The general appearance of this plant is that of a weather-beaten and long-needled stunted pine. Flowers and fruit are green cones that become very brittle and brown when dry. The leaves are tiny scales and only grow from the plant's nodes, giving it a bamboo-like appearance. They bloom and mature in the spring. The stems can be made into a distinctive but pleasant-tasting tea, thus the common name Mormon tea. The tea has a strong diuretic effect and contains enough ephedrine to make it a functional stimulant. The branches yield dyes of tan, peach, and gray. Directly next to the joint fir is the four-winged saltbush. Stop F on the map. This plant does not have a placard. At maturity, the typical four-winged saltbush, also called chemise, will reach up to 4 feet or 1 meter high. The plant derives its name from the four winged capsules that encompass the seed on the female plants and from the salty-tasting foliage. The leaves remain on the plant throughout the winter. American Indians boil fresh roots and drink the brew for stomach pains and as a laxative. Roots were also ground and applied as a toothache remedy. Soapy lather from leaves were used for itching and rashes from chickenpox or measles. Fresh leaf or a poultice of fresh and dried flowers were applied to ant bites. Leaves were used as a snuff for nasal problems. Smoke from burning leaves was used to revive someone who was injured, weak, or feeling faint. The leaves also provide a yellow dye. On the other side of the sidewalk across from the salt bush, you will find the creosote bush. Stop G on the map. Creosote bush is one of the most characteristic species of the hot deserts of North America. Often called chaparral, its pungent odor fills the air following rains. The creosote bush serves many medicinal purposes, including cure of fever, influenza, colds, upset stomach, gas, arthritis, sinusitis, and anemia, just to name a few. It also has antimicrobial properties, making it useful in first aid. Creosote can be used on the skin as a tincture or salve and can be taken internally as a tea or capsule. In addition to medicinal purposes, the creosote bush is used as livestock feed, firewood, and roofing material for adobe homes. It also serves as a yellow dye for skin painting and dyeing fabrics, a disinfectant for homes, an insecticide, as a fish poison, and as fuel. The resin from the branches was used as glue for pottery and for fixing arrow points. Moving past the white sand sign and looking to your left, stop H is the honey mesquite. Honey mesquite is a perennial shrub or small tree 2 to 10 feet or half to 3 meters tall. Twigs are armed with sharp thorns up to 2 inches or 5 centimeters long, especially on young plants. Mesquite is commonly used to treat eye conditions, open wounds, and dermatological ailments. Acting as an antacid, it can also treat digestive problems. It has soothing, astringent, and antiseptic properties. When used for cooking, mesquite wood gives food an excellent flavor. Flour can be made by grinding the ripe pods. The pods can also be fermented to produce a slightly alcoholic beverage. The green pods can be boiled in water to make a syrup or molasses. A tea or broth can also be made from the pods. The hard and durable wood of the mesquite is often used for building purposes, weapons, tools, and furniture. The bark is used to make cloth, baskets, and rope. The gum or pitch is used to make candy, face paint, hair dye, and pottery paint. It can also be used as glue for mending pottery. From here, turn right into the curved section of the sidewalk. Stop I, the New Mexico Agave, is on your left. A 7 to 10 foot or 2 to 3 meter flowering stalk appears after 8 to 20 years and bears yellowish tubular flowers in clusters. The New Mexico agave only flowers once in its lifetime, which is why it is called the century plant. After it flowers, the original plant dies, but since it suckers freely, new plants will quickly replace it. It is a common misconception that agaves are cacti. They are not related to cacti, nor are they closely related to aloe, whose leaves are similar in appearance. They are members of a family all of their own, agave. All major parts of the agave are edible, including the flower, leaves, stalks or basal rosettes, and sap. Its bruised leaves afforded a paste for which paper was once manufactured. Its juice was consumed as a fresh drink or fermented into an intoxicating beverage known as pulque. Early Europeans distilled the juice to make mezcal or tequila. Its leaves supplied an impenetrable thatch for dwellings. Pins and needles were made from the thorns at the extremity of its leaves. The fibers were used for making many items, including bowstrings, brushes, cradles, nets, slings, shoes, skirts, mats, rope, thread, baskets, and snares. The fresh root was used as soap and shampoo. Next to the New Mexico agave is Stop J, the lechuguilla. Lechuguilla is one of the most widespread of the agaves. Its succulent yellow-green rosettes are 1 to 2 feet or 1/3 to 2/3 meters tall and widely suckering. Thick, leathery leaves are tipped with a strong spine and have hooked teeth along the margins. The lechuguilla, like its relative, the century plant, requires 12 to 15 years to store up enough food for the production of a large flower stalk, which then grows amazingly fast to up to 15 feet or 4.5 meters tall. After producing flowers and seeds, the stalk dies. Toxic juice from the leaves was used as arrow poison, a fish stupefier, medicine, and soap. Leaf fibers were used as cordage for bowstrings, nets, baskets, mats, sandals, blankets, and cloth. In Mexico, the plant is still harvested for its fiber to make rope. Roots pounded and soaked in water are used for soap and shampoo. The leaves of the lechuguilla are so sharp that they can cause injury to animals and humans and can even puncture the tires of off-road vehicles. This gives them the well-earned nickname of shin daggers. Across from the lechuguilla and the agave, on the other side of the sidewalk, is Stop K, the soap tree yucca. The soap tree yucca is a 5 to 20 foot or 1.5 to 6 meter tall tree-like yucca and is the state flower of New Mexico. The flowering stem is 3 to 7 feet or 1 to 2 meters long, with branches covered with clusters of creamy white bell-shaped flowers. Soapy material in the roots and trunks of this abundant species can be used as a soap substitute. The leaves are a source of coarse fiber and were used by American Indians in making baskets, rope, and sandals. The young flower stalks, which resemble overgrown asparagus, are rich in vitamin C and were eaten by native peoples. The flower pods were boiled or roasted like potatoes. At White Sands, the yucca uses stem elongation to stay above the moving dunes. Yuccas seen on top of a dune are actually taller than the dune itself. Continue down the sidewalk to our next stop on your right, L, the skunkbush sumac. Also known as three-leafed sumac, the sumac is a low-spreading deciduous shrub. The leaves have a disagreeable odor when crushed, which is the reason for the name skunkbush. Flowers are yellow and grow in clustered spikes. They are followed by bright crimson pea-sized berries. Crushed leaves were used as an astringent to treat stings, bites, rashes, and sunburns. The bark was chewed as a cold remedy. The fruit was chewed for toothaches. The roots were used as a deodorant. Branches are strong and flexible and were used for basketry. Twigs were used to make cradles, fishing tools, and decorations. Large stems were used to make bows. Stems can also be used as a string to sew up water containers. Its berries are used for food and as a beverage. When berries are crushed and added to water, they make a tart lemonade drink. All parts of the sumac can be used to make dyes for baskets and rugs. Within the dune field at White Sands, the skunkbush sumac forms pedestals to help it survive amidst the moving dunes. From the sumac, the next stop, M, is straight ahead and next to the trash can. This plant is called Torrey's yucca. The Torrey's yucca is a perennial evergreen that grows 3 to 10 feet, 1 to 3 meters tall. The trunk is often branched. Its creamy white flowers are bell-shaped and grow 2 to 3 inches, 5 to 8 centimeters long. The leaves can reach 2 to 4.5 feet, 2/3 to 1 meter in length. They are straight and rigid, ending in a sharp spine that is 1.5 to 2 inches, 3 to 5 centimeters long. These imposing leaves radiate around the stem. American Indians ate the pulpy fruit of this and related shrubby species either raw or roasted. They also dried and ground the fruit into meal for winter use. The coarse fibers of the long leaves were made into ropes, mats, sandals, baskets, and cloth. Turn around so that the yucca is now at your back. Directly in front of you, you'll find the Desert Spoon. Stop in. Also known as sotol, the Desert Spoon gets its name from the spoon-like depression at its leaf base. The plant's form is similar to agave, but it does not die after flowering. By roasting the flower head in a pit for 24 hours and then distilling the juice, American Indians and Mexicans prepared an alcoholic beverage known as sotol, which is colorless and has a penetrating odor and peculiar taste. The tough leaves are used to make mats, baskets, ropes, thatch, and paper. The broad, spoon-like base is often used in dried floral arrangements. Now turn right towards the parking lot and head left on the sidewalk. The parking lot should be on your immediate right. Just a few feet past the Desert Spoon is the purple prickly pear cactus. Stop O. The purple prickly pear cactus grows in clumps, usually about 4 feet tall by 5 feet, or 1 meter by 1.5 meter wide. The large purple leaf pads are covered with large tan spines. Bright yellow flowers produce red to purple fruit. Unlike many other types of prickly pear cacti, the purple variety has fewer long spines. It also has a light jasmine scent, which is used to attract nocturnal insects. The prickly pear cactus is part of the diet in Mexican and Mexican-American cultures. Only the young plant is eaten. Older plants are far too tough. Prickly pear cactus is also used for medicine. In foods, the prickly pear juice is used in jellies and candies. Its juice can also be used to strengthen adobe mortar. Further down the sidewalk is the next stop, the Hoary Rosemary Mint, stop P on the map. The Hoary Rosemary Mint, or mint bush, is a 2 to 3.5 foot, or 0.5 to 1 meter tall, aromatic shrub covered with short, silvery hairs throughout. These hairs help prevent the plant from drying out. Tubular flowers grow in small clusters toward the ends of the branches and are pale purplish blue. Hoary Rosemary Mint blooms from May to August. The plant was used for seasoning food. The leaves are boiled and used for tea. At White Sands, the plant forms pedestals to survive the moving dunes just like the sumac. To the right of the rosemary mint bush, you'll find our final stop, the cane cholla, stop Q, on the map. This plant does not have a placard. The cane cholla is the most common species of cholla in southern New Mexico. The spines are very finely barbed and difficult to remove from flesh. This species blooms in late spring or early summer. The flowers are purple or magenta. The fruits, which are often mistaken for flowers, are yellow and shaped something like a cone with a hollow at the wide end where the flower fell off. The plant retains them all winter. The name cane cholla derives from the fact that canes, furniture, and other souvenirs are often made from the attractive woody skeleton of dead plants of this species. The thorns can be used for sewing needles or to make improvised fish hooks. Cholla buds are high in calcium. Local native people ate the fruit raw, stemmed, or dried and ground into flour. It is our hope that we have shown you the value of these and other native plants and why it is so important that we protect both them and other unique natural resources at White Sands. Each is an essential part of the heritage that our park protects. The National Park Service does not endorse nor encourage the consumption or ingestion of native plant material. Please return the audio equipment and map to the visitor center. Thank you, and have a great day exploring White Sands National Monument.